You're listening to EG. I'm Pui Guan Man, senior reporter, and today we are doing a podcast special on the up-and-coming e-gaming industry. Having exploded in popularity in Asia, where e-gaming will become a medal sport in 2022 at the Asian Games, the trend has spread to the US and looks bound for meaningful growth in the UK. In this podcast, we'll explore whether it is a category that has legs as a real estate occupier. You'll be getting the lowdown from Shaftesbury and PwC on why they have chosen to expand in esports and what sorts of opportunities they each potentially stand to gain from the fledgling UK market. I'll also be picking their brains on whether they think e-gaming is just a fad or here to stay.
The development and the awareness of this new industry is very much apparent across all other industries that can see the demographics, the number of eyeballs that are on this space, and the rapid growth potential that's out there. They're all looking to converge on it. And, you know, real estate will be no different.
More on that from PwC in a bit. But first, Shanghai-based Wanyu Cafe has just unveiled its first store in Europe with the launch of its Cyber Cafe brand at one of Shaftesbury's units, and is positioning itself as an early mover in this space with £21 million backing from Wang Xisong, the son of Chinese billionaire Wang Jianlin. Its 5,330 square foot cafe features a 12-terminal esports battle arena, private rooms and booths, and public gaming and co-working spaces. There is also a large screen for live streams of global tournaments, as well as a food and beverage bar. We speak with Andrew Price, asset executive at Shaftesbury, about the recent launch of its e-gaming occupier Wanyu and why it has decided to take a gamble on this very different tenant. I guess to start with, Andrew, why did you decide on Wanyu as an occupier for this particular location?
I think, firstly, the guys at Wanyu did an excellent presentation. We meet all our prospective tenants here at Shaftesbury because we really like to understand their businesses. And, you know, they made us aware of the growth in e-gaming, and we just wanted to learn more. We'd had experience of the popularity of gaming on our visits to Japan and Singapore a couple of years ago. And actually, when we were talking to some of our tenants within Chinatown, we started to pick up that there was a requirement for this kind of cafe, and mainly from the mainland Chinese students that frequent Chinatown on quite a regular basis.
What are your thoughts on e-gaming companies in general as an occupier group?
We're really excited by the way they appeal to that younger sort of 18 to 35 year old demographic. When Wanyu came in, they'd already done a lot of work with the various student bodies within the Greater London Universities. And we know in Chinatown, we saw it with the growth of the dessert bars, that if you get the right offer, then you can really start to attract this repeat business from this younger audience. We saw it as an opportunity to tap into this this market. We also think that, it's an entertainment use and it really complements our existing offer. Wanyu will typically be busiest in the evening, and we believe that once people have been and had their gaming session, they'll be out there, they'll be eating, they'll be getting, going to our dessert bars that are just around the corner. So, yeah, we needed time to learn more about this particular group, but having done so, we're really excited.
It would be great if you could go into a bit more detail on what sort of opportunities you perceive in this particular market and, you know, what impact you might expect esports to have on the UK real estate market specifically in the next few years.
From what we've seen and, from what we've learned recently, the esports market is rapidly growing and it's evolving all the time. So, to actually comment exactly how it's going to affect real estate is quite difficult, but what we do feel it really picks up on, it's that example of tech change. And in Chinatown, we're seeing Alipay coming in. By embracing the esports concept, we really do think it's providing another dimension to Chinatown, and it's evolving leisure offer. So esports is one of a number of things, change initiatives, that you've just got to understand, experiments, and who knows where it will go from there. But I think you can't ignore these sort of movements.
Part of the reason why I ask is because it is sort of viewed as one of those trends that may take off. You know, we might be seeing a broader take up of space across the UK, but I don't know whether you think it's sort of early days for that still, or whether you think there's a real precedent for that to happen.
I think it's early days, but I can really see it morphing with other sort of technologies, and whether it's kind of a hybrid use. So, for example, you know, it becomes part of cinemas, it becomes part of a kind of general food offer. Having actually been in one and sat down, I mean, it's great fun. And I can only see these kind of, that being a real positive and something that can equate into other parts of the UK.
I think part of the issue for me personally when I went, I was trying to sort of figure out what it was about spaces like these that will sort of get people to come out of their homes and play video games rather than just stay in. It's quite interesting to hear your sort of thoughts on how technology is going to sort of, you know, how it will sort of broaden out to involve other kinds of leisure offerings as well.
I mean, the interesting thing about Wanyo is how it's linked to the cafe. And I think, you know, people come together. There's rooms for couples, there's a group room. They put their headphones on, they play their game. After their game's finished, they go and have a, you know, a coffee, talk about it, and then get back and play another game. So it's really like-minded sort of gamers getting together. Wanyo offers coaching sort of facilities. It's just, I'd never been anywhere quite like it. So, you know, it was an interesting experience for me. When I was thinking about this, and it was kind of, when we considered Wanyo, it was sort of some of the challenges of actually looking at something that is that little bit different. We do like to make sure that our offer is relevant and it's compelling. We think it's important to embrace some of these changes, and it helps us enhance our tenant mix.
Great. I mean, is there a lot of demand from similar types of tenants that you're seeing?
I think, if I say specifically gaming, I think, like we've said earlier in the interview, that's a growing area. What I do think is this kind of hybrid use is really growing. And whether it was retail or someone like Sweaty Betty, where you've got a yoga studio, or someone like Jack Wills, where you've got a coffee shop in the back, it's this coming together of people, the brand get the opportunity to talk and really engage with their customer. So I feel, you know, Wanyo, the way they've got their coffee shop, other sort of food uses where they're selling more of their product. I think it's this kind of way that users are sort of, you know, no longer is it just retail. It might be retail with a bit of bar use, with a bit of food use. So it's things like that which, you know, we see sort of where the change is, and the challenge for us is to actually keep up with that.
Yeah. I mean, would you have more than one of these occupiers in your portfolio?
I like to... We'll stay close to Wanyo. We'll see how their business develops. I wouldn't rule it out at all. I remember 5 years ago we had our first bubble tea operator in Chinatown. We've got up to about five or six now, and we feel there's a market there. I think you've got to be really careful. You keep a close eye on saturation. As long as you give businesses time and you don't totally bombard an area with one use all at one time, you've just got to let markets evolve and grow. So yeah, I think we'd definitely consider it, but within time.
Yeah, I think you preempted my next question actually, which was you know, whether or not you think it could be a fad. How would you cope with or deal with the situation if that was the case? How do you suss out whether something's a fad or not?
You've really got to listen to your consumers, and whether it be your tenants, whether it be the shoppers, whether it be, you know, journalists, and you've just got to keep close to it. You do get, I mean, if you do that, you do get feedback. And also as well, you select brands that evolve. And, you know, Wanyo, their offer might develop and move into something else. I think the big thing with e-gaming is actually the games you're playing. So whether it be, you know, football and FIFA games go out of fashion, it's kind of that, it's them developing their product. And, you know, now with the shorter leases that operators are taking, and, you know, us having an eye on this, if it's not working for them and footfall's not going to the area, it's not working for us. So, you know, we sort of have situations where people either downsize, upsize, or just move on.
Great. Thanks very much for your time, Andrew. We also chat with a different Andrew, Andy Fay, esports network leader at PwC, to share his thoughts on the sorts of opportunities that the property industry could take advantage of. Fay, also a director at PwC, says he began to look at the esports market in earnest just over 18 months ago to gain a better understanding of the sector's complex ecosystem. He says his team is having more conversations from all industries keen on entering the market. To him, the industry has undergone dramatic changes in the past 2 to 3 years thanks to changing consumer behaviour in the entertainment space and social media. We ask Andy when he reckons the industry will pass the $1 billion revenue mark.
Our PwC Entertainment and Media Outlook report, which forecasts the next 5 years in entertainment and media, our 2018 version that came out last summer, that had the 2018 valuation at around about $800 million. You know, and then the forecast for 2022 was $1.6 billion. So, you know, on a sort of a 20% growth per annum scale, you'd expect the $1 billion barrier to be broken sort of 2019/2020. However, Newzoo, the esports-related news agency who do a lot of statistics and audience measurement and all that kind of stuff within esports, predict that will happen in 2019. They're slightly more generous on their valuations today. I think they value it at about $865-ish million for 2018. But, you know, they're slightly more than what we would, you know, classic accountants being slightly more conservative, perhaps. But, you know, it's ballpark. And so they think 2019 will go through that $1 billion threshold.
Right, right. I mean, those are some really impressive stats. But would you say how, I mean, is esports more than just a fad? I mean, how do you suss out whether or not it could be more than a fad?
Well, the main point of this, and that's, you know, that's a challenge that gets raised quite a lot. But you just have to look at the numbers and the level of engagement. So, you know, across the world, there's, you know, project along with those revenue growth, then, you know, audience growth runs alongside it. So the expectation is by 2022, there's about 400 million people globally regularly looking at this stuff. So the genie's out the bottle. You know, that's the way that we look at it, is that, you know, the industry is very immature in its development. However, I think it's here to stay, because even if businesses come and go, some may fail, some may really succeed, something will quickly take its place. And we may see that, you know, even by 2022, the landscape of esports looks very, very different what it does today. And that's because the community really drives the development. That's where it's slightly different to other mainstream media or traditional sports, in that broadcaster and, you know, the you know, FIFA in football, for example, the sort of governing bodies, really shape the industry that they're in. In esports, it's the community that drives it. The community put pressure on the publishers to do what they want. So, you know, so long as that keeps happening, it will be here to stay, and it will only get bigger and bigger as more organizations from outside come in.
I see. And what impact do you expect esports is going to have on the UK real estate market in the next few years? Do you think we'll see a broader sort of take-up of e-gamers as tenants on the high street, for example?
It's probably too early to say what the real long-term outlook will look like as far as real estate is concerned. But the sort of the green shoots, if you like, that are around at the moment, you can look at the Belong areas, which now are across the UK. They start off in London, now they're in 30, 40 different towns and cities across the UK. And they're run by Game, and they are, you know, sort of capitalising on the Waterstones successful experiment of making it more social. You know, you go into Waterstones, you don't just buy a book. You go in, you can sit, you can have a coffee, you can read your book, you can browse, you can pick and choose what you want to eventually then buy and spend hours in there. And Game has gone that way as well. You know, rather than being just a place where you go in, you buy your video games, they have diversified to say, actually, come and stay here, hang around, socialize around gaming. And because the technology is so good, because the speed is so good, and the connectivity amongst the different Belong arenas across the country is very good, they then start to have what they now call tribes, people that are associated with their local Belong store, and they can compete very, very easily and quickly with other Belong stores. So they're now already in situ on the high streets. Other things to look out for is probably, and this is maybe a bit longer term, is esports specific arenas being created. And what I mean by that is where a UK team, so one of the big global teams, for example, of which at the moment there's two in the UK, in Fnatic and XL Gaming, mm-hmm. and they may well, or there may be another ones that develop, may well then create, build infrastructure within cities, towns, probably at the moment London or Birmingham are the hotbeds of esports in Britain. And that will be where they could house their team, they can train, they can then play home tournaments, etc. And then in the downtime, while that's not going on, it has that sort of Belong Arena type feel where it's so social. People come in and compete, play, whatever it may be. I think you'll see a lot more of that over the next few years. And, you know, we typically will follow North America's lead. And if you look at what's happening in North America, Walmart have started, you know, introducing similar type arenas, but actually, you know, with stadia, so people can come in and watch competitive gaming in sort of, I think, about half a dozen cities across the states. They're now opening these up. So it's very likely, and maybe in some of the big department stores that we've got, this may well start to happen. It certainly will increase footfall into those areas.
I see. So there's lots of different ways this could take shape and different kinds of opportunities out there for the property
industry.
It is,
yeah. And I wouldn't, if you look at China, China's gone, you know, really steaming ahead, whereby they've got something like 9 or 10 of their large cities all competing for the lead status in domestic esports there. And they're pumping, you know, about $11 billion mm-hmm. into those cities in order to create esports towns. Now, I'm not saying that the UK is anywhere near doing that, but, you know, that is a sign of things to come, whereby Germany are doing something similar to that, not necessarily an esports town, but what they would call a competency centre, where that merges, you know, it's focused on traditional gaming, and that will then cater also for esports as well. So there's a blank sheet of paper at the minute. There's no real barriers to doing any of this stuff in the esports world, so there could be other things that come up over time as well. I just think, you know, from the UK perspective, the future's very bright for esports. We are lagging slightly behind the rest of the Europe as far as what I would say cultural development in this space. But actually, if you look at some of the large brands that are entering esports world, I mean, you know, we're having this conversation today. You know, this probably wouldn't have happened 6 months ago, and that's because the development and the awareness of this new industry is very much apparent across all other industries that can see the demographics, the number of eyeballs that are on this space, and the rapid growth potential that's out there. They're all looking to converge on it. And, you know, real estate will be no different. There will be opportunities in that sector to leverage the fantastic statistics that esports provide.
Right, absolutely. Thanks for speaking with us, Andy. It's still an early stage, but as an occupier group, eGaming has the potential to form a key part of boosting the appeal of physical spaces to younger generations and tapping into that all-important market, whether it takes up substantial space in bricks-and-mortar stores or even dedicated entertainment venues. Either way, it has the potential to change the game.